This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Duchesne, nice job. Sends it across. Rantanen in front. Score! Rantanen again! It's a hat trick in Winnipeg. Hintz was right in front, but it's Rantanen who remains scorching hot. That man is out of his mind.
Perfect call. And that was a rare thing last night, which we'll get into later on. Good morning, Metroplex. As the great Tolo Artemio tweeted, get us closer to the weekend with that energy boost after the Dallas Stars finally win a game one with the hottest player in the entire sport going hat trick again. It's Sean Sharif, Bobby Belton, RJ Choppy on the Fan.
I think we could say the hottest player in sports. I think we are there. I don't know.
You know, they use Jock Peterson.
It might not be good.
Maybe the Knicks as a team.
Stars.
Yeah. I don't know that that I've seen anything like this in a spot like
My
that.
My God.
He is unbelievable. Worth every penny. Stanky had a, you know, Stanky tied, you know, in game one or whatever of their series. And he had the game tying goal. I mean, he's done well for Carolina, but this is a different level. It's a different level that we are seeing Mikko be on right now. And he's really helping people who had a name Eco in DFW. He really is, because
it makes it even worse for Nico.
It really does.
You can't make it up. It makes it even worse for Nico Harrison.
Yep, it really does. But it's like, it's so fun to watch. And, you know, I know that these guys have short shifts in hockey compared to other sports, but it's like, you just want to keep him on the ice. You don't even want to take him off, like, ever. And that goal he had where he was on his butt. It was
that the third one? First one was a rebound. Second one was the redirect that I love so much, my favorite play in all of hockey.
Yeah.
So it must have been the third one.
Yeah, I think it was the third. Look, you lose track. You lose track the way this guy is. Right. But like, that was one of the most difficult goals you're gonna see. I mean, he's on his butt, just the strength, just to get to flick the wrist in there and the awareness. I you can't say enough about this guy.
Look, we got 8 years of this left with the contract, and it's a really dangerous, probably, overreaction state. You could almost say that the deal's been justified because of game seven.
Well, yeah.
You could almost say that.
Right, and we'll see. Obviously, you see where this playoff run goes, but, I mean, you know, most people would say, like, you know, just look at the Juan Soto deal this year. Like, if the Mets win one title, they gave him 15 years. Like, I think a lot of Mets fans say, all right, look, well, 15 years, we get one championship out of it.
Well, it's New York.
Right, it's New York.
So they Sal Perciota or whatever.
So they'd be miserable with just one. But, like, if you win one title, it's almost worth it.
Bobby, Mikko becomes the third player in NHL history and the first in nearly 40 years. How does that third player in history, first in nearly 40 years with hat tricks in consecutive playoff games?
Yeah, and what it was, he's the first player in history with multiple three-goal periods in an NHL postseason, because he does it all in the second period. There, he's so incredibly good that it's one of those things where even to the, as I've said before, the novice eye, the untrained eye here, that doesn't know hockey as well as the big-time Stars fans in Dallas, like, it's so easy to tell just how good he is out there on the ice.
Yep.
And He's a lot of fun to watch. And just the amount of skill that he has on those redirects like you talk about, or just like the way he moves across the ice. I still go back to that. That's, I think it was the second goal, the game tying goal against Colorado. The way that he basically hops and like splits three people and wraps around and puts it. He's so, so good. And again, you start thinking about like, okay, all time DFW trades in terms of impact immediately. This is going way up there. This is most similar probably to what Cliff Lee did, where Cliff Lee got here and started running through the playoffs.
Well, I thought Atolo had a great tweet yesterday. Like, who was more unconscious, Mikko right now or Adolis?
What, in the ALCS? That he won the ALCS MVP, I think, that year. But he was fantastic. But this is the guy had a hat trick. There was a point yesterday
in the period.
After the second period. Mikko had a hat trick in two of the last three playoff periods he played in. It's crazy.
Last four games, 8 goals, 6 assists, 14 points.
Man, to that question, now I'm sitting here thinking about it with Adolis.
Because how many games did that run?
So Adolis was in the ALCS. He was a monster. He was really the guy. The playoff run that always comes to mind to me, though, specifically it was Nelson Cruz in the 2011 ALCS where he hit those 6 home runs. Like, that to me was, you do not get to the World Series. I know everybody likes to remember Nelson Cruz butchering the ball in right field, but you don't even get to the World Series without Nelson Cruz doing what he did against Detroit. This is on a level to me of Cliff Lee pitching against the Rays. This is Nelson Cruz going off. This is Emmett Smith during some of his runs during the playoffs. This is so far just an all-time run. Like, when Spittle's telling us in the meetings going into the postseason that, hey, Mikko, we're talking about like an all-time playoff performer here that they've got, and it's showing up right now.
And Mikko was asked after the performance if he's ever felt this good in the postseason before.
I don't think so. No, it's been good last couple of games, you know, and obviously have to thank the line mates. Teammates are making great plays around me and finding me in the net front or wherever it is, and we'll just try to keep it going now.
Mike Leslie tweets that Rantanen has now scored or assisted on 12 straight Stars goals, carrying the entire offense.
That is the record in playoff history. That is eclipsed Mario Lemieux, who is at 9. So we are talking like 25% more, and it's going to grow. Like, it could. It could grow tomorrow. Like, either if he scores or assists on the first Stars goal, be 13. He's just going to extend his playoff record. This is a heater, man. Like, this is a heater like we haven't seen.
Robo returning, so that's good news. Your Hellebuck preview scrambled my brain all game long just watching him and hating him as he does the eye exercise. Did you see that?
Yes.
Where he's training on the bench and the gloves go off like this, and I'm just like, damn it, RJ, you ruined maybe the best player in the series or in the sport for me.
He's so like,
he didn't ruin Mikko.
He's so easy to hate. He's so easy to dislike, man. From the I'm the most studied goalie ever nonsense to the eye thing, I'm exercising my eyes before the game. Listen, loser. Everybody does that probably, right? A lot of goalies do that. But, you know, the fact that they brought it up, like, he invented it. He's out there acting like he invented it. It's like, come on.
All right, give us your Stars thoughts. If you stayed up late for it, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053 on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line.
Yeah, by the way, yesterday, I know Miko's the big headline, but I still don't know how Esa Lindell stopped that puck from going in late in the third period. The way that, I mean, they've been...
He did that in round one.
Yeah, this is the second time he's done that. He's their best goalkeeper outside of Jake Oettinger. Yes. Like, he needs to be in net for the same... He was fantastic, and again, this is another game where, I mean, how long has it been since they gave up a power play goal? It was like game 3 against Colorado or something.
Goaltender, Bobby, not a goalkeeper.
Whatever.
That's the wrong sport, right? Soccer.
It's not a jersey. It's a sweater. I know. But regardless, like, the penalty kill's been great. Chop tells me
they volley back and forth in tennis. We got to get our terms right. You know?
Yeah.
It's a rally, right?
It's a rally.
It's a rally. And volley is in volleyball.
Volley, no, is when you're at the net and you're doing
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah,
gotcha.
Okay.
Tennis insider Sean Sharif here to get us.
Hey, I know pickleball.
Ask John Isner about it. I'll tell you, I'm the man. Probably not. Pete DeBoer on the performance and finally getting a game one win.
Keep it going. Let's see how long he can run this for. Yeah, he's rolling, you know, and he's feeling it, and pretty impressive what he's doing. I mean, you know, considering the opponent and the time of year and, you know, how he's dominating games, really impressive. So, you know, and you know, and I think it's the first time we've won a game one since 2019. I thought our group did a lot of good stuff. I mean, Otter made some huge saves down the stretch. PK was outstanding, got a power play goal. Special teams again were great. So there's a lot of things there for us to build on.
This guy's a calm, cold-blooded killer, DeBoer. I mean, they're talking about his 30-year coaching career, mm-hmm. 17 in the National Hockey League. He kind of hits it and quits it and goes to certain situations and then leaves. But, man, I just feel so much confidence just looking at him over there in that box. And he has a game one win because they had lost 8 straight, dating all the way back to the 2020 Stanley Cup final in the Edmonton bubble. A bubble?
Mm-hmm.
Was that far? Was that long ago?
Yeah.
Against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Pepe has been pointing out game one. Gavin Spittle with that note. Spits and Suds with the recap wherever you get your podcasts. And Pepe, your thoughts on last night with a game one win?
I mean, this Jets team, they don't scare me after one game. It's not like the Avalanche. The Avalanche go up 1-0, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, they still have McKinnon, McCarr. You know, they still have all those guys. The Jets, they don't have that oomph, I guess. You know, and what a week a difference, you know, it makes for Mikko, because after like game 3 or 4, yep. Stars fans were tweeting out, is this a bust? Did we make a mistake on this trade? And then he goes and shuts everyone up with, you know, 8 goals in the last 4 games. So really impressive.
The funny thing about DeBoer, his numbers are all over the place. He's got like, what, 9 straight games, 7 wins, but all these game one losses in a row. He's 7-15 in game 6. He's 5-7 with a chance to clinch in game 6. He's all over the map. There's no, it's like this, he dominates game 7s, but he can't win game 1 or he can't win games. It's so all over the map with him.
Well, they won game 1, and not only did they win game 1, they deserve to, according to Money Puck.
There we go.
54.6% for the Stars on Money Puck, Sean.
Every day on the show, I have been saying, and hopefully will continue to be saying the same thing. You got to watch the NBA playoffs.
Tatum across midcourt with 10. Top of the key with 8. Defended by Robinson with 7. Right wing 3. Crossover. Foul line with 4. Left block. Step back. Stolen by Bridges. Bridges chucks it down court. They've done it again. They've done it again. The New York Knicks take both in Boston. And a 2-0 lead heading back to the Mecca.
Knicks radio with the call. Another 20-point blown lead. My buddies start texting me on this thing, the meatball text, and they're like, uh-oh, game getting close. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Like, I had bet on this thing. It's Boston in control. All right, get ready for the Stars. Finish up some errands. I switch it on over just to see the win probability at 99.1 go right down the toilet. The win probability in game one was 98.3, and the Boston Celtics lose both games in front of the mass holes, and I absolutely love it. Jalen Brunson like didn't even go off in this game. Bobby, you will be happy to laugh at me and say I deserve it. Here's two things that are usually absolute facts that I was planning on betting on moving forward with Underdog. The great player response, right? I can hear Shaq now. Great players don't have 2 bad games in a row. So Tatum stunk it up in game 1. It was not going to happen in game 2. It did. Jason Tatum was awful. And then the favorite that loses game 1 will always bounce back because mm-hmm. the team that stole game 1 will quit.
Right.
We saw that in the second game with Denver.
Yeah.
OKC. OKC won by 43. They had scored 87 in the first half. But Tatum cost me money.
Look, the Celtics,
with a joke of a final possession too.
Usually when you win a title, you go on like an aura run. You've got an aura run about you. Teams are scared of you. They give up. You get a 20-point lead, they give up. The Knicks, Have you ever, so these sneakers I'm wearing, right? They got like a hole in the middle of the sole, right? So every time I step on a spider with these shoes on, the spider lives because it hits the hole, right? So the Knicks are the spider that I
thought
keep
you were
going to
tell me you could feel the spider when you stepped on it.
The Knicks are the spider that I keep stepping on, right? Like I keep stepping like it's not dying. It's not dying. Then you do this awkward like toe tap as the thing runs away from you. But like I have one move here, step on the thing. The Celtics like they step on the spider. The Knicks don't die. They're not reacting well to it. They're choking. They're like gagging this thing away. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Frank Isola called them.
Well, the threes might be the reason.
The threes, yeah.
And they missed 30 of them last night after missing 45 in game one.
And that's the one problem with today's NBA. No, not a problem, but like with guys like Tatum, is if you go in a cold streak, you're just like you don't have a way of still scoring 30 because you're not doing the let's get to the line, let's find it. When Jordan was 5 of 22. He would still score 30. He was at the line the whole time.
But they have the players to do
they
it.
Do.
Like Jalen, that Mavs team that went to, that made a run against Phoenix before the finals team, they had to just shoot threes. They didn't have any creators. Right. These guys have Tatum, Brown, Porzingis inside, Drew Holiday. They have guys with all around game.
Yeah. What was the, you said, what was the Shaq line again?
Two games in a row don't happen for great players.
See, that's the thing is that you bet on a player who's not great. You bet on Jason Tatum. 1 for 12 in the fourth quarter so far this series. This dude is the title that was won by that entire team last year and unduly credited to this choke artist and this loser is hilarious to me because now it's given him an undue reputation.
Could Brett Boone do it again for the Rangers in Boston? And Bobby has even more intel. He broke the news yesterday on George Pickens, and he says he has even more info on why and how it went down. All of that next for the 6 a.m. Club Thursday edition. Just getting started on The Fan.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Payoff pitch again. And there's a long drive to right. If it's fair, it's gone. It is hooking at the foul pole. It is gone. The second home run of the game for Willier Abreu. Man, does he kill the Rangers.
Yes, he does. Eric Nadell, the Hall of Famer, has all of his calls on this radio station. In case you did not know, we are your official home for the Texas Rangers and the Dallas Cowboys. Bobby Belt has even more information on the George Pickens news that he broke yesterday. We'll get to that coming up in just a second. I'm Sean Sharif alongside RJ Choppy. All this was good until the sixth inning. We're all tied up. A guy, Brett Boone, doing his job, generating some more runs. Usually when they score 4 runs, they're good to go with this pitching staff. And then it all falls apart, Choppy, as the Rangers lose in Boston 6-4.
Look, you can't rely on
this
pitching.
This was a crazy game.
It kind of was. And, you know, look, I mean, most of the games this year, the Rangers would have won because they're allowing like 1 or 2 runs a night, you know, seemingly.
And Mallett, you feel like a little bit off for him?
Mm-hmm.
He gave up 2 runs. That's it. 5 innings, 2 runs.
Yeah, and they had a chance of the ninth. I mean, they got, you know, they got the Chapman with the home run, leadoff home run, and then all of a sudden you're looking at you get a guy on. All you need is a bloop, or you need a bloop and a blast, and it just didn't work. I mean, the pitching, for once, you know, they went to the well one too many times, and for once, you know, they weren't able to hold teams down with the rotation and allowing 6 runs is tough to win.
The bullpen, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, with Webb and Garcia, it just felt like it was falling apart. Guys were running into each other. First base drama. What baseball, I give you the most credit for replay. What are y'all doing recently? How in the hell do y'all, it worked out for the Rangers, but how in the hell was that ruled safe at first? Bassick and Raymond were blown away on the TV broadcast, just as I was.
Well, and then the other one, the one that they overturned, that they called out, they called the Red Sox player out a little bit later on. I didn't understand that one either, but I guess it's like the way Raymond was explaining it, the way as soon as the ball touches the glove, just touches the glove, period, yes, as opposed to being like in the web.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
well, that one made sense to me, but there's no justification for the other one.
No, I don't think so.
Look, here's the thing, is that all I care about, you're gonna lose games every now and then, Sean, okay? Like, there's 162, you're gonna lose 70 of them, okay? And that's still a successful season in my book. Yeah, this is what I do, this is what I bring. But the thing is that, look, as long as you're putting up four runs in back-to-back games, that to me is a little bit of progress. The big thing here is just you can't go 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position. That's their biggest, all year, a lot of their problem has been they'll stack up hits and then they don't bring anybody home. And yesterday, you know, Brett Boone talked about it. If you get somebody second, they need to come home. Like that's got to be the priority, is getting those guys home. And when you go 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position, that's not great. And Langford specifically being 0 for 3 on that.
We saw this, we did that set over the weekend where they were like, there was a point over the last, you know, from like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they were like 2 for their last 20, 21 with runners in scoring position. Like, that's just not something that you can do.
I hope everyone got a chance to listen to Brett Boone yesterday at 9:20. How good was he?
He was awesome.
He was phenomenal. If you missed it, 105throughthefan.com. Odyssey probably has the replay on that as well. He was so good. He said he's going to try to join us every single Wednesday. Every Wednesday during the course of the baseball season. And Abreu, third multi-homer game of his career, all of them have come against the Rangers.
Every team has that killer.
Yeah.
Every team has that one guy. Oh, he's a Brewer killer. Oh, he's a Ranger killer. Oh, he's a Marlin killer. Right? Every team has that one guy. And right now, it's Abreu. It's Abreu for this team. He did it again yesterday. He did it in the opening series. He's a killer, dude. Like, you don't want to see him coming up. And it seems like when you have that guy that is a Ranger killer or whatever team that you root for, that guy always seems to come up in the eighth inning, down a run with two men on. He always seems to come up with people on base, and it's maddening.
Jack Leiter on the mound today, 12 o'clock pregame, so a gift for the KNC Masterpiece with the first pitch at 12:30, and we need to start feeling a little turnaround from Jack, right? I mean, yeah, we do. I was trying to justify because he gave up two earned in his start two times ago, but it was in 3 1/3 innings, two earned, and then 4 1/3, 6 earned with 2 home runs. So the finale in Boston today.
Really quick, I just had to look these splits up on Abreu. I was curious how bad it is. What do you think his OPS is in 13 career games against the Rangers?
So you're smiling. So 1794.
Pretty damn close. 1735. A 1735 OPS in 13 games.
Wow.
Is ridiculous.
One thing on Jack. That second start where he had allowed the 6 runs, 4 of those were on a grand slam third time through the order. So maybe, you know, if you look at it a little bit differently, that if you just did the 4, it is 2 runs, whatever.
Bobby Belt still working the phones yesterday after he broke the George Pickens development before yesterday's show started. What else did you find out yesterday?
I mean, I think this is a trade that George Pickens is really welcoming. It sounds like he's really excited to get to Dallas. He is going to play this out. It's not anything that it sounds like he has much of a choice in. The Cowboys are going to have him play it out.
Meaning like he's not demanding the extension.
Yeah,
he's
not demanding an extension. He's going to show up. He's going to play is apparently the idea. So it's not going to be any sort of an issue. This isn't a Hassan Reddick situation where the Jets go make the trade and then they're like, oh, we've got an understanding. He's going to come here and he's going to play. And then it's like, no, he's going to hold out because you guys didn't communicate properly. This is a situation where George Pickens understands exactly what it is and that there's like real excitement for him to play in an offense that he feels better suits what he does than what's gone on in Pittsburgh, and to be able to play with some quarterback stability. The fact that in 3 years he caught touchdowns from 4 different quarterbacks is that was something that was an issue for him, is that they never did settle on the stable position at quarterback. And so he's excited to get here is all the testament that I heard yesterday. And some of the thought process in terms of him as a teammate and some of the, okay, how much is he... is he apparently like just a toxic individual or whatever? Some of the takes I got yesterday were the fact that he's really competitive. He's really immature, but he is growing. A lot of people feel like he's grown and that it's a process. He's still, you know, 24 years old, whatever he is, but that it's something where if you at least look at progress that he's made and how he's grown over the years, people do feel like he's made progress in that area. And it's just a matter of, he's got to grow up a little bit and he's going to get there.
Gotta compete.
compete, I was right? I was at the Ford Center yesterday.
Well,
and a name that I kept hearing brought up was Dez Bryant. Maybe not necessarily. I mean, he's not Dez's stature, right? Dez was a freaking tank, but
he was, man.
In terms of the antics, in terms of the enthusiasm, the passion, the drive. A lot of Dez talk yesterday in Frisco when I went out there.
It's not a bad comp. It's just, I think it still misses the mark a little bit just because Dez to me was so much of Dez's like outbursts or issues were related to losses.
Yeah.
Like George Pickens, I think has
George
had,
is worse.
George has had issues over his career where it's like, dude, you're. If they were winning and Dez didn't catch a ball, Dez was happy at the end of the game.
Yeah.
If they won.
Yeah.
If they win and Pickens doesn't catch a ball, Pickens is not happy. And so that's where maybe a little more T.O. than Dez is that he wants the ball. Over everything else, he wants the ball.
Trade grades are coming in with more perspective on who won this deal around the league.
This is from Seth Walter of ESPN, who analytics guy. I really like him. He said that according to his player tracker, he'd shown growth in his ability to get open since his rookie year. He had a 48 open score in 2022. That rose to a 70 over the last couple of seasons.
A what?
It's called an open score. Like it basically scores on a scale of 100 how often you're open, right?
It's one of their proprietary formulas that they come up with at ESPN.
These analytics people, they just love to not tell you anything. they're like the airline with their hidden fees. They don't even let you know what's going on here, right? Like the Frontier story from yesterday. Crazy. His catch score dropped from a high of 99 then to 72 then to 40. And they say that looks like a profile of a player who could see some positive regression. Positive regression meaning he's going to catch more. It may be a little bit of bad luck. But so they like it. They give the Cowboys a B-, and the Steelers a B+.
That's not liking it to me. B- is not liking it.
You don't
really
think?
No, I don't feel like.
Man,
B- is
you
like.
You homeschool kids. B- for me.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I was
116.
Skipping down the hall.
I know 116 how you feel about the B-. The B- is barely above like. Are we even saying this is any good? Like that's where that is. This is ESPN. ESPN uses it's the receiver score. Yeah. It's the open score. It's the catch score. These grades have just basically turned into a front to push their proprietary tools.
Yeah, I agree.
My apologies. Apparently it was not Bobby Belt who dropped the breaking news yesterday. Mike Greenberg on ESPN said it was someone else.
We have major breaking news this morning. On ESPN and Get Up, the Cowboys and Steelers are working to finalize a trade that will send wide receiver George Pickens to Dallas in exchange for draft pick compensation. Shefty dropping that bomb from a plane earlier this morning. He's on an airplane and the trade is, I didn't like the phrasing of that. The trade is expected to include a third round pick, other pick swaps, and is expected to be finalized today.
He recognized it.
He did.
He recognized it really quick.
I get it. Yeah, you're flying off the cuff here, and or out of the cuff, as A-Rod would say. And it just you hit something that doesn't. It sounds right in your head. It doesn't sound right when you say it.
Yeah, you probably should not say the create such imagery from that. But Mike Greenberg has never been like a
Shefty
big wordsmith.
Dropping that bomb from a plane earlier this morning.
it's the like from a plane. He didn't even say on a plane.
On a plane.
If he just said on a plane, it's probably better.
By the way, Jane Slater doing some extra homework and also texting me insults at 4:45.
I liked it.
This morning. I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, it's a hand joke. I said, go back to sleep. Go back to bed, Jane. But she did some digging on what that second move could be that Jerry Jones was talking about. She said, I checked on anything additional. Guys like Nick Chubb or Stephon Gilmore, are they still in play? The response she got, quote, they were never in play. And then she had to throw me under the bus a little bit and said, well, what about Breece Hall? Also never in play. I was told about the Breece Hall possibility before the draft. I don't know whether the Jaden Blue pick changes that. In terms of skill set, or they feel comfortable enough, or they can just add like someone else without having to give anything up. But that's Jane with the follow-up saying, nope, Chubb, Gilmore, Breece, never and not possibilities.
Yeah, and I mean, I think for right now, they're going to be in a holding pattern. I think Dallas is saying, all right, we've made our moves. Let's pull back a little bit. get into these mini camp and OTAs. And then if we, this, what's standard for them is they get through mini camp, they get through OTAs, and then that lull period, that 6 weeks before training camp, is where they're likely to make another move, where they look at it and go, okay, what are we missing before we head into camp? And if they feel like the running backs aren't good enough, then you might see them working the phones again.
Inside the Star on the home of the Dallas Cowboys with our insider Bobby Roberto Belt, as it feels like the city is feeling pretty good about the diva wide receiver that is coming on over to give this team some entertaining juice. It's Thursday. It's 6:40. That means it's the payload.
Oh, baby.
Getting made fun of at work could lead to a big payout if you're the victim of all those in-office jokes. Peyton Phillip Russell has it for you in the payload after this.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment?
I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. It is the payload every Thursday at this time. And guys, we start off by celebrating these group of men. The short kings out there. This is their week. 5'5 through 5'9 because of the date.
Reitma just got hype over there.
It's Jake Reitma's week.
Just made
it's
it
Jake
out.
Reitma.
Just
so made it out. If your height is between 5'5 and 5'9, this is your week because of May 5th through May 9th.
5'9 is average height for a man in the U.S.
Would you rather be 5'6 or bald in your 20s?
Bald in your 20s.
I agree.
Yeah, bald in your 20s for sure.
You can sell the bald look.
Do we know anyone that's both? It was like a young 30s bald and 5'5. Sandler's got nice hair.
Sandler's got great hair.
Reitma's got hair.
Yep, he does.
Reitma's not that small.
Alec has hair. Alec has a whole man bun.
Oh, yeah.
He's got piercings, too.
You think Alec is 5'5 what?
4?
Oh, Alec's
5'4?
No, he's probably 5'6. He's probably 5'6.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Is Zach Rowe balding a little bit?
I don't know. He's always got a hat on.
I don't know.
So probably.
I don't know. If I was invited to his wedding correctly, I would know.
I was trying to think of how to say that.
So happy week to the short kings out there. But
why is it? It's short people week?
Because 5'6", 5'7", 5'8".
May 5th through May 9th. So the date is 5'5 through 5'9".
And happy birthday to my mother.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Mrs. Sharif.
But guys, if you are a victim of being bullied at work, you may have a five-figure check waiting for you. This is an employee in the UK named Lorna Roke, and she was given almost $40,000 because she was compared to the evil empire of Darth Vader. We've all been called names here at work, but Darth Vader just apparently goes over the top here in the UK. He gets you five-figure payouts. This all started because Lorna was doing a Star Wars theme test as a team building activity at her job. This test had people answering questions, and then based on their answers, they were compared to different Star Wars characters. So this seems like a harmful activity, obviously, right? Wrong. The thing is, this woman didn't even take the test herself. Someone else took it for her, so her answers were based off of her coworkers' answers for the test. But so this got her a almost $40,000 payout. This went to court. A judge called Darth Vader's personality insulting. So that obviously did everything wrong here. Litigators deemed it harmful to be compared to the half-machine, half-human bad guy who was known in the films for force-choking people who failed to carry out his orders. They ruled it a detriment and awarded her with a payout of a little less than $40,000.
And where is this?
This is the UK. London.
Boy, Ron Slavin was right.
Man.
We've gone soft.
He
said it just the other day. He said we've gone soft. Kristen brought up the Darth Vader thing. So it was May 4th the other day, Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you.
Oh.
And she was complaining about, she's like, why do all the kids, like everywhere I go to these things, the kids all want to dress up like Darth Vader and like the stormtroopers. Why don't they want to dress up as the good guys? It was like, because it's the good guys in Star Wars are bathrobes with bad haircuts. Like you get to dress up as something cool. You get to be Darth or one of the stormtroopers. I don't think it's that offensive.
I don't either. The Attitude Era of WWE changed everything. It changed everything. It made the bad guys cool. All right? The bad guys are the cool guys, right? That's what happened. It's a blurred line.
This is like the Shador lawsuit.
Yeah, the Shador Sanders lawsuit. Somebody has decided to sue. A man in Georgia has sued for the mental distress that came with Shador Sanders dropping in the NFL draft. He is looking for six figures, saying watching him drop in the draft was mentally taxing and overwhelming and upsetting. So he is suing the NFL for this.
This is why I love the law. This is why I love the law.
This makes you love the law.
Yeah, you can just sue for anything nowadays. I just love it. I love it because I love to see what people's thresholds are.
Watching the college phenom be selected 144th overall was, quote, mentally frustrating and debilitating, and he is now looking for over $100 million from the NFL.
So who in this building do you think would have the greatest UK argument if they were to sue for getting picked on?
Probably Carter.
Like who would sue or who would actually like have
Carter's,
a case?
Carter scared me off of both. Carter scared me off of making fun of him.
I'm not going to say who would sue because I don't want to point out who's so soft in this building that they do it, but there is somebody in my head. As to who would have the best argument, it'd be me. It'd be me. He took the homeschool swipe earlier.
Yeah.
I get it from Allens, but you know what? I'm tougher than that. So I don't need to go get my $40,000 payout. Although that's a nice down payment for a house.
As you drink your little Starburst drink.
Yeah, because clearly that means I'm missing something today.
Yeah, no, this is soft. I just want to know, I mean, if one of us went to spittle or whoever did, you know, I mean, what's the first thing he's saying? Does he, like, have to file something? I don't feel like this is actual law unless it's different from the UK than US, but I feel like here in the US, they just say, you're soft, get to work.
Maybe in the past, I feel like there's a little bit less of the you're soft, get to work than today. But yeah, this is ridiculous. A test came back to Darth Vader and you sued over that. You're soft over
a Star Wars character.
She's attractive, though. I just looked her
up. Now, if it was like, yeah, for sure. Okay, the HOV lane. Do you guys obey the rule when going in the HOV lane?
Hell no.
I don't get in the HOV. I don't even know.
You got to have at least two people in the car before going.
Yeah, I generally obey the HOV rule, but I got to, where is the HOV lane?
Yeah.
I haven't seen an HOV lane here.
75. It's all up 75 heading north. And so, yeah.
I never really take.
So. I
got to tell you one thing. I don't understand the toll tag charges. I don't understand when I get charged. I don't understand how I get charged. Well, I don't understand any of it. I get these. I'm getting spam the most from these fake toll tag accounts as well. I have no freaking idea what is going on. For like 12 years, I feel like I didn't pay these types of toll tags, and now I am. It's crazy, and it still doesn't automatically lift the gate for me at the airport.
No. Oh, yeah. We can't get the tag. The tag doesn't work for us at the airport to lift, and so we always have to go through the, like, pay
there
line.
There's a hack for the airport. You've got to stop right where you would stop for the ticket. Like, you know how you would stop to get the ticket? If you stop in exactly that spot, it's fairly quick. But the Sam Rayburn or the tollway, those are cheaper than, like, the text express lane,
dude,
which is that express lane where it might be 75 cents at 4 a.m, but it also might be $20.
Yeah, I'm like, I may as well paid for a ride share to go to San Antonio.
If it's $20, though, I'm usually like, okay, that probably means it's worth it. The backup must be that bad. But you're talking about the actual HOV lanes, like with the dotted lines or the solid lines,
yeah,
right?
They don't like charge you to use it, but it's like a cop is usually, I've seen before where like they wait before and after the HOV lane and like they'll radio in and say, hey, this guy only has one person in there. But drivers around the world are intelligent now. They've continued to find a loop. Holes that sometime they work here. Drivers are putting full on mannequins and dummies, and Aiden has some pictures on the fan cam here shortly, but they put on these dummies in the front seat with the hat. I mean, they dress them out. Look at that. Like that looks like a legit child in the front seat or back seat of the car.
It looks like
and
a
they
dead
drive
body.
By.
It does look like
I don't
want to
get
body.
Pulled over for
it looks like a dead body.
Suffocation.
This was a big court case a few years back because a woman was driving in the HOV and she got pulled over and they're like, you're one person. She said, I'm pregnant. I'm two people.
Oh.
That
became a lawsuit.
Did That's she win?
I don't.
And I'm
going to
name my kid Darth.
I don't.
But yeah, so cops were taking pictures of the dummies and posting them on social media. And then they also write them a ticket, of course. So you get made fun of on Twitter and Instagram. But
sounds like a life hack.
It is. I think it is because it's like, how many times does this actually work, though? And how many people have actually tried that? Text in 877-801-1053. I might have to try it one time. I've never been caught doing it. I only use the HOV lane a handful of times. I don't really live by one, but I've used it sometimes.
I've never been pulled over for this. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody get pulled over for this. It's not frequent enough that I think it warrants dressing up a dummy before you're heading anywhere. Like, if you're in so much a hurry that you need to use the HOV lane, I think dressing up a dummy is kind of a waste of time.
But yeah, you got to respect the determination. All right, it's the payload every Thursday here at this very time. Now the Winnipeg Jets, we get to make fun of them. They took the L last night, and their fan base is going to take another L here because of the playoff song they made a couple days ago. It's another playoff song for us to laugh at. We had the Padres a few years ago. They made a playoff song that they, you know, lost in the NLCS. The Phillies, the Oilers made the playoff song with their in-house opera. You know, they made it to the Stanley Cup but lost in 7 games to the Panthers. But here is the Winnipeg Jets song, and we get to make fun of it here.
sounds like a Canadian song.
It does. It sounds very Canadian. They had one. They did one good thing last night. It was from their perspective because they chanted at Otter, "You're the backup." That's what they chanted at Otter for. Whatever, you know, that was like
because of Essa Lindell.
Yeah, that was the only good. That was the only good like kind of dig they could even think of. That's it. Losers.
They're out of contention for the 51st state. After that song, we're not considering them anymore.
Yeah, tomorrow will be a fan appreciation night for them at the Winnipeg Jets Arena because that'll be the last home game they have this year because the Stars they're obviously taking in four. But
you and Choppy are the same person.
Yeah. Look, I had mentioned the Padres fan song that they made a few years ago, and so here's that, and you get to rank the two on which one's the more cringiest here.
Billy going down to yellow and brown. That's what's in. Padres on the loose. Let's go, Goose. That's what's in. Bryce gonna lose, and Manny's gonna cruise. That's what's in.
We need Utah fan to be making all these.
Yes.
What was the name of that dude?
Oh, God.
Jazz fan?
Jazz.
Do you remember him, Bobby?
No.
This is before your time here, but.
Boz something.
Zero.
No, oh. Z-Boz or I'll look him up.
Yeah. I don't know which one.
The Winnipeg one is so much worse.
You think?
Yeah, they went to
at
like.
At least they added music to that and they were rhyming.
That's why it's pathetic. Like went to a full extent to create like a full production where they shot inside the arena. That's somebody like recording off their cell phone making a self-aware rap.
Z-Dog. I'm Z-Dog, Utah's best rapper. Subscribe to my YouTube.
And now he can make Utah hockey songs as well.
Yeah,
right?
The Utah Mammoth. Now this was leaked. We had the story a couple weeks ago. It was leaked. That it was going to be the Mammoth. They wanted the Yeti, but they could not come to an agreement with Yeti, the coolers.
Oh.
I guess Yeti has the proprietary. I think it's a miss. I like, Utah Mammoth. It's a good name, solid logo.
Speaking of the Stars, let's celebrate, finally, a Game 1 win. Jake Rietma in studio to recap. And what's up with the announcers we got for Game 1? It's a Stars party on this Thursday after this.